What's up, everybody? Welcome to Climb Ladder for episode 179, presented by Washed Up Network. I'm your co-host Hunter. My equally good-looking twin brother Duncan is right here with me. We are coming to you guys straight off of the 2024 National Championship, and we are excited to jump into this episode. And as always, we are brought to you by the great PNW. So head on over to thegreatpnw.com and use the code CLIMB20 for 20% off. As always, let's climb the ladder. Hunter, like you said, fresh off the national championship, wanted to give a live reaction and kind of quick recap of the national championship for anybody out there that didn't get to watch it. And then I think we'll dive into a little bit of NFL since the playoff picture is set, recap the end of the Seahawks season. And yeah, a lot going on in sports lately, a lot going on with us lately. So sorry if we miss a week or two here and there, but yeah, excited to be back and give you some fresh football content right off of the big national championship game on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that by the time people listen to this on Tuesday the 9th, they'll know the outcome. Not exactly what we wanted as Washington born and raised, and we were Huskies fans really until we went to Boise State. And I'll cheer for the Huskies as long as they're not playing Boise State, which is how Boise State opened the season in Seattle with a pretty dominant loss. And then the Huskies ended up going on to be 14-0 and finished as I guess the second best team in college football. But a lot kind of I mean a lot going into this game, but also a lot coming out of it. If you think of, we can break up the game a little bit and kind of dice it up, but maybe even like more historical coming out of this is the Pac-12 is now disbanded. This is officially the end of the season. It's kind of funny seeing them pump the Pac-12 commercials for literally the final time. But Washington and Michigan will be playing as conference opponents next season. They already have a game scheduled in Seattle. Also the last of the pretty brief stint, actually, 8 years of the eight or of the four team college football playoff expanding now to 12. So a lot coming out of this, but we can talk about what went into the game, what went on in the game, and then how it really is going to pivot this offseason going into 2024.
Yeah, it'll be. I mean, in the NFL, you always see a Super Bowl matchup maybe a year or two later, just because that's how the schedule is already set. But in college, you never have the national championship played in the regular season the next season. Or if so, probably very rarely because it just doesn't happen. You have teams from different divisions or different conferences. And yeah, the fact that the Pac-12 is closing and that Washington and Oregon are joining the Big Ten next year, it'll be weird to see whenever that game is in Seattle, see Michigan go back and see if the Huskies, I mean, both teams will be different. They won't have their star quarterbacks and a lot of COVID seniors on both teams. But yeah, that'll be a totally different thing. And I'm excited to see it, but I think that the romance of the Pac-12 will be missed and just all of the history that comes with it too. I think it was a great way for the Pac-12 to end and say, hey, it's produced amazing schools and UW is the birthplace or the birth school of the Pac-12, their original member since the early 1900s. And so kind of cool that they were able to ride it out on top like that. Even though they fell short in the national championship game.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, so much history. You even look back to 1991, obviously before we were alive, but UW got their last victory as national champions over Michigan in the 1991 championship that was played in the Rose Bowl, which the Rose Bowl's classic, like Pac-12 Big Ten matchup. But yeah, anyway, I mean, just the history behind it all. And yeah, it's just gonna look so much different going forward. Another maybe storyline coming out of this is, along with players graduating, these seniors, Penix not being there, Jim Harbaugh might not even be there. They're, I mean, considering him for some NFL head coaching jobs since his contract is up. And I think really he has nothing else to prove at Michigan. He might as well go double or triple up his money in the NFL.
Yeah, it's interesting when you think of kind of the two perspectives with college coaches. Jim Harbaugh was at Stanford a long time ago. He was at he coached for the 49ers. Now he's been at Michigan for the last few years. And you could really look at it as like, do you do what Nick Saban has done, stay with a program for 15 years, win multiple national championships, and stay at the top of the NCAA, really? Or do you know, hey, I've been to the NFL, I can do it. I just did the best honor that you can do by winning a national championship. And now I can go to San Diego or to New England or Las Vegas or Washington, D.C. or Atlanta, like all these places that need or are going to need a coach probably in the next few days. I don't know. It seems like he's got the buy-in, though, with those young kids. He knows how to work with those guys, and maybe that's why he's done so well since leaving the NFL and the 49ers. But I feel like he's a front runner for an NFL job, so we'll see.
Yeah, no doubt. It'll be interesting to see, like Washington's still a great team, a great program. Kalen DeBoer came in and took a 4-8 Huskies team. Now in the last two seasons, what's the record? 20,
They just won 21 in a row.
21 in a row, two losses in the last two. So they would have had what, a 14 game season last year and 15 this year. So yeah, so three losses in that stretch. I mean, a 26-3 program in two seasons. You got to tip your hat to DeBoer. Came in, hired the right guys, recruited a strong class, took guys that were already there and made it work. You get somebody like Penix. I mean, I know he's what, 24, 25 years old. He's a 6-year senior, but he had some injuries. He I think had a junior year red shirt or something with University of Indiana, but he battled adversity through some injuries. I'm surprised there weren't any more storylines about that
Yeah,
tonight
you
for
could tell.
Penix.
Yeah, you could tell how much he was hurting tonight, especially as the game went on. I mean, the guy did not get any time to throw. Every time
Yeah.
he did throw, even if there weren't people in his face, he ended up taking shots. And I mean, you can only do so much. You've played in 15 games. That's almost a full NFL season now. And your body's tired, in addition to being a student and a kid, and just the wear and tear that your body takes playing at such high caliber football. Yeah, props to the Huskies. I mean, like you said at the beginning, we grew up Huskies fans. We'll always root for the Huskies if they're not playing Boise State. And yeah, it's cool to see what they've been able to do to put Seattle on the map, to put the University of Washington on the map. But hats off to Michigan because we saw a pretty dominant Huskies team take on Texas last week. And it was close, but they played very well. We saw them beat Oregon in the Pac-12 championship.
And during the regular season,
Yeah, so
who,
we've seen this Huskies
with an
team.
expanded playoff, Oregon's in this thing too.
Right. We've seen this Huskies team play some really good football, But Michigan played even better tonight. Washington had a bunch of miscues, some holding penalties that really just killed them, some just miscommunication on routes, and the
Yeah, and just
didn't
some
show up.
momentum killers, really.
Yeah. I mean, fourth quarter, 9 minutes left, down by seven, and then to lose by three scores in the next 9 minutes, that hurts knowing that we were a touchdown away and really three big passes away that were all either dropped or penalized. That's hard, but I think they'll be back. I think Kalen DeBoer is there for a while. He was a Fresno State guy, Mountain West. And yeah, came in and just made a splash in Seattle.
Yeah, I think he definitely has his home with the Huskies. I think that he has found a spot to really like grow his career. And I feel like he's just fresh into this thing. Like, not a bunch of head coach history. You know, he's writing his story and building his resume. And especially with a 12-team playoff, like, I almost have no doubt that they're back in it again next year as. Well, I was going to say as a top Pac-12 school, but even in the midst of a tough Big Ten, I bet they'll be a top three or four in the Big Ten, with the likes of Michigan, Ohio State, and Oregon.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that there's a lot of potential. I mean, the Big Ten's gonna have how many representatives next year with all these great Pac-12 schools going, but yeah, I'm excited. I think there's good future. Obviously, losing Penix to the draft. Michigan's losing JJ McCarthy to the draft. Some of their running backs. I know Odunze for the Huskies should probably go in the first round. Great.
Dude, I mean, if he could stay in Washington and become a Seahawk, I know that we need a quarterback first and foremost, but to get a receiver like that, the guy is talented.
Yeah, that would be a pretty fun one to have in Seattle. And the Seahawks are good about going and getting, former Huskies. So I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. And obviously that's another off-season discussion for another day. But yeah, I mean, got to tip your cap to Michigan. What they did on defense tonight for the Natty was crazy. I mean, they stopped a really good Alabama team. I mean, a strong Crimson Tide. But they looked, I don't know, different and brought it out different tonight against the Huskies. They mainly stayed with three guys up front and dropped eight almost every time. And the Huskies' only solution was going to be able to drop it underneath. And that's tough for an offense to overcome.
Yeah, the Huskies were just kind of clunky tonight. They really didn't have that strong, powerful, cohesive offense that we've seen. It felt like every throw was a desperation throw. Penix had over 45 pass attempts, and he was just getting hit left and right, paired with the offensive line not really preparing anything for the run game, and then our defense couldn't stop Michigan's run game. There was a lot of holes that Washington had tonight. I don't know if it was the moment. I don't know if it was being the underdog. But yeah, unfortunately they didn't make it. And I was actually just looking to see who is the successor for Michael Penix. And it looks like on Friday, Will Rogers, it looks like it was maybe before Christmas, but former Mississippi State quarterback Will Rogers chooses to transfer to Washington for one more year. So,
Wow.
looks like he has made 40 starts at Mississippi State and is set to be the next starting quarterback of the Huskies. So, guy with some good SEC experience, and maybe we'll see if he can come in and keep the Huskies where they ended up this year.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty crazy to hear. But yeah, I mean, a lot of promise, a lot of, I mean, the landscape's just going to look totally different. Schedules are going to look so different. The historic rivalries are not going to be there. I mean, kind of cool that like Washington and Oregon still get to play. But I'm sure even that will feel different after they're traveling all over the country and they're like, oh, hey, cool, we have a West Coast matchup. But yeah, I'm excited to see the changes, but at the same time, a part of every fan loves the history and the rivalries and that time of year that feels like the right time to play a certain team, like that feeling can really never be replaced.
Yeah, shout out to Michigan for a great win. I mean, there's nothing like it to be a national champion, and they're going to enjoy this one. I think we could see a totally different Michigan team next year, especially if Harbaugh leaves. So that's a big question mark. And then we'll see where Penix and McCarthy, respectively, get drafted this year. So,
Yeah, no
yeah,
doubt. And
good
JJ
game.
McCarthy had a great game, but honestly, they had four rushing touchdowns. So,
Yeah, two great running backs, one of them also a senior.
yeah, that's a big factor. Well, something else on the docket we got to get into is a preview of the NFL playoffs because it is set. And we are going into Super Wild Card Weekend, Dunk.
Yeah, let's run through and look at who got what seeding, and then let's look at some head-to-heads and make a few predictions. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have it in front of you? Are you ready to run through the
Yeah,
matchup?
I say we go top to bottom on both sides, and then I have kind of a couple just nuggets that I want to pull out, so you can probably throw some in there too, but in the AFC, undoubtedly we have Baltimore with number one. So they locked in the bye. We got number two is Buffalo, which Buffalo versus Miami could have either put Buffalo at the sixth seed or the number two seed, which is wild. And it could have meant Pittsburgh did make the playoffs or did not. So it came down to a wild Sunday night game that Buffalo took care of. So then we go number three is the former world champion Chiefs, and number four is Houston, who won their division. And then we go into the wild cards of number five, the Browns, six, Dolphins, and last but not least, Steelers on that side. Dunk, how does the NFC look?
Yeah, NFC, we've got San Francisco out front. NFC is not as clear cut as the AFC, which we can talk about here in a second, but the NFC has a lot of okay teams. And so we have Dallas at number two, Detroit at number three, Tampa Bay winning the NFC South at number four, and then we've got Philly as wild card one. The Los Angeles Rams as wild card two, and then Green Bay snuck in there yesterday on Sunday night as the seventh seed in the NFC.
Yeah, pretty crazy. I want to jump on what surprised a lot of people is the first wild card seed in the NFC, the Philadelphia Eagles. Man, I don't know what happened. And then I just had to double check what I thought was to be true, and it is. Talk about a skid. So they finished the season 11-6, and in their last six games, they lost five of the last six, which is crazy to the likes of the Seahawks, the Giants,
I think the
the
Cardinals.
Cardinals. I mean, the Jets. I mean, Jets wasn't in their last six, but that was their first loss. So kind of crazy. They got dominated by the Cowboys, which probably didn't sit well. But I do also want to make a bold prediction and say that I don't know if the Cowboys have what it takes, and I would love to see the last wild card spot as an upset over the Cowboys.
Yeah, that would be cool. I think of any of those matchups, I think that could be the upset that happens. Jordan Love is playing great football right now in Green Bay, which is surprising because he didn't show a whole lot last year in his first season as well. I guess that would have been this year, early this year. in his first season as the Packers' full-time starting quarterback. But yeah, going through the NFC matchups, obviously San Francisco with a first round bye, they'll play the next lowest seed, which will probably be one of the wild cards, and then they get home field advantage throughout. So the road to the Super Bowl goes through San Francisco and
And
yeah.
Baltimore on the other side, as long as they're still in.
Yep, exactly. Staying on the NFC, probably the game I'm most excited for this weekend is the Rams versus the Lions.
Yeah, me too.
Obviously, there's the storyline of Jared Goff versus Matthew Stafford in the trade that these two teams made for each other. It's funny to see both of them in the playoffs. The Rams obviously have gotten a Super Bowl out of the deal with Matthew Stafford, but the Lions are good, and I think right now the Lions are the best team in the NFC. I think they're playing the best. I think that they've been able to show just some dominance, I think, on defense, and they're all behind their coach. I think the 49ers are good and they're one seed for a reason, but they have not been dominant like we've seen them in the past. So I don't know. I think the Lions are probably the scariest NFC team right now. And then the only other NFC matchup really is going to be kind of a sleeper, Philadelphia versus Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay just good enough to win the NFC South, which in the last few years has not been saying a whole lot. And then Philly, as you just mentioned, is on a complete slide. I do think they'll be able to take care of Tampa, even though it's in Tampa, but I don't think either of those teams are going to make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, props to the Bucks. Turned it around. I'm not sure how they got it. Like, that looks like a night and day different team than when Bruce Arians and Tom Brady were there. Like, doesn't even feel like the same team to me, but props to Baker. He led the team and got it done to grab that four seed. I mean, I think it'll be closer than anybody would have thought. Maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago after Philly skid. But yeah, I could see Philly grabbing that one. I also am excited for LA and Detroit. And I think San Fran has a slight edge, just with their offensive key players. I mean, most notably McCaffrey. But I would love to see Detroit go to the Super Bowl. It would just be amazing after we watched. You know, we watched Megatron growing up and they had a squad for a long time and didn't do anything with it. So we also saw we saw those winless Lions teams throughout our life, and now to just see that turnaround and a fun Dan Campbell team. I think one of their biggest strengths is they have the it factor. Those guys are just blue collar and they want to win. And I feel like it represents Detroit, just gritty. So that will be fun. But yeah, I'm excited to see what happens. We're done talking about the Seahawks, but they were a Green Bay loss away from grabbing that seven seed, which was disappointing because they did win it at the last minute against the Cardinals. But really, the Seahawks did not deserve to make it. But we'll take a winning record for the season.
Yeah, it is a nice end with a winning record, but it's almost like, but what was it for? Because we had our own destiny to try to get to the playoffs and just didn't have a great end of the season. And the season as a whole was kind of what they've been like the last few years, anyways. So they weren't dominating. They beat a few good teams. They lost to some bad teams. So yeah, the Seahawks will probably kind of stew on over the next few weeks as we look at free agency and coaching decisions and draft and everything. But one fun fact I heard that I did want to point out is this is the first time that the Browns, Texans, and Lions have ever made a playoff appearance at the same time.
That's wild. I mean, to look at that, like obviously the league has cycles of 10 to 20 years and teams are good and then they get bad and draft picks and everything. But That's a wild stat to think about in the history of the NFL, even modern since the Super Bowl era, and then like especially since the expansion teams in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. So on the AFC side, what are you looking at? Who do you think's a favorite, or what game is most exciting? And then let's give some Super Bowl predictions.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Baltimore is my number one team. They have been for a while. I wonder if I said it far enough back on any episodes, maybe 160 something. But they have been looking really good. I'm excited about the Browns just because of Joe Flacco. I love a good storyline like that. I don't think that they're enough of a threat, but I would like to see them move on from the first round. CJ Stroud is good, and he turned around a poor Houston organization with some, I mean, great tools. Tank Dell, who would have thought? Nico Collins. I mean, they came in and made a splash. I just don't think that they have the experience really to go deep in the playoffs at all. I'd be kind of interested to see if KC gets bounced in the first round because all of a sudden, it's like, what happened to the Chiefs and where'd they go? But I mean, I'm taking Baltimore all the way, and out of everything on the AFC side, I would just kind of like to see the Browns win.
Yeah, I think a Browns win, even though CJ Stroud is cool and fun to watch. Yeah, a Browns win would be pretty fun. Just to say that they're one step closer to the Super Bowl. I think a lot of people are, counting KC out, even though they are the third seed. It's still Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs are still good. I think they've been missing a lot of receiver weapons this year, which I think is why they are where they are. But never count out Mahomes. Buffalo is a sneaky two seed. Started the season 6-6 and came back to get the second seed in the AFC. But just watching Lamar, front runner for the MVP, and everything he's been able to do with just the ground game and John Harbaugh, I think that Baltimore is the best team in the league right now, and I think that's regardless of AFC or NFC. And I don't know if it'll happen, but I would like to see Lions versus Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's my matchup too. I would really like to see that. One thing that I would like to see, I know it's a one versus two, but I think Buffalo has it at the right time. I think Josh Allen is an animal, and I think he has enough guys that he can make it happen. I mean, I would like to see Buffalo versus Baltimore in the AFC Championship, but that means I wouldn't be able to vote for a Detroit versus Buffalo Super Bowl because it's two blue teams. And I mean, I don't know what you do for a jersey combo. I know I like one team would have to go all white, but still, I don't know if it works well.
Detroit's got those grays that they've been rocking every once in a while.
The grays would be cool. Yeah, I could see it. But I think Josh Allen is a very good quarterback. Also, if anybody's putting money on anything, you definitely take KC this weekend because it's Miami traveling to a cold weather place. I mean, that's almost an automatic.
Yeah, I think people are forgetting what Patrick Mahomes has done successfully more than one time in the playoffs. And Miami has shown that they're decent, and I think they'll hang around for the next 5 to 10 years. But at the end of the day, it's the Chiefs, and I think they're gonna rock Miami.
Yeah, I mean, Baltimore, Miami, and Buffalo for sure. I'd take them moving on. And we'll see. Houston, Cleveland will probably be a close one.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the funnest games of the weekend for sure.
Yeah. Well, Dunk, should we jump over to the West Coast and just hit a little weekend recap?
Yeah, let's wrap up the episode by recapping our weekend, brought to you by Web Western. Head over to web, that's webbwebbwestern.com, and you can use the code in our show notes, or you can click the link to directly go there. But you can use code CTL podcast for 20% off, or maybe it's no, for 10% off your order. They do have some specials going right now at the beginning of the year. There's a buy one, get one. They dropped a couple new hats, so check it out. Super comfy hat. Love them. Hunter and I both have them, and yeah, they look great. So Hunter, let's tell the people what we did this weekend and some highlights from our concert experience.
Yeah, we're taking this one outside the sports world. Even though we were about as close as you can get, across the parking lot from SoFi Stadium, we went over to the Forum and saw the Eagles, the band, the Eagles, on the Long Goodbye tour as those guys are wrapping it up. And we saw their second of four sold out shows at the Forum. Just an iconic venue. Amazing band. What a story. What a career all those guys have had. And it was the second time that we got to see them. So Duncan and I got our dad that for Christmas. And if you're ever wondering if you don't have a good gift to get, just go for the experience because that was an all-timer.
Yeah, our dad is definitely the reason why we like a lot of different music, including classic rock. But really, even if you didn't even like listening to music, you would like the Eagles. The Eagles are likable by all. They have a lot of different sounds and just a lot of history. I mean, when you've been around for 50 years, there's going to be a lot that's behind your name and a lot that's gone on. But they were amazing. It was such a fun experience with all the guys that we got to go with, and just being at that historic venue of the Forum, I would go back in a heartbeat. It sounded amazing. The seats were fold out theater style, so it was comfortable. Knocked back some cold 24-ounce coolers. So yeah, you just can't beat it. It was such a fun time. We got to watch the History of the Eagles documentary the day before, and then the day leading up, and just to see the Eagles in action. At the oldest ones are 76 years old, plus Vince Gill, plus Deacon Frey, who's Glenn Frey's son. It was just a great experience, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, awesome experience. I mean, yeah, great band, great music. They sounded good. They looked pretty good. I mean, if you closed your eyes, you would have thought you were listening to their record. They didn't have like shaky old voice or anything. Like, just amazing. So, really fun experience. Really cool to share that with Duncan and with our dad. So. Yeah, and we got some sun out of it. It was a good mild, like 60, 63 degrees, but the sun made it feel like it was 80 just to get outside and go for a walk and have a break from the cold. Because Dunk, you returned to a little bit of snow, and yeah, I returned to even some cold and some rain in Washington, so.
Yeah, nice to thaw out a little bit, dry out for you. Got to see Mandy's family who lives down there, took Aubrey on her first flight, which was exciting. And yeah, it's just all around a great weekend. If you're wondering what to do, just do it. Buy the plane ticket, go to this resort, go to this concert, see this sports team. It's fun. You're going to remember those things. And yeah, definitely glad we did it. Good idea.
Yeah, that was fun. I don't know if I saw, I think I saw a random Ticketmaster email that said like concerts near you, and then I scrolled down past the ones that was near me, because California was the closest to the Northwest that the Eagles were going to be touring, and I started thinking about it, and I was like, hey man, we got to make this happen. And fun to do a destination concert, but like Duncan said, take advantage in 2024. Put a couple $100 aside. I mean, you could set aside $40 or $50 per paycheck. And by the beginning of the summer, you've already saved up enough for a plane ticket to go somewhere. So just go do it. Make memories that are gonna last longer than something that gets thrown in your garage or your closet or something. And take a picture, it'll last longer. That's what they say.
Yeah, it was a great time. Fun to be with dad and then my other dad, father-in-law, and both of my brothers-in-law, and which one, I guess Parker's almost a brother-in-law, but he counts. So yeah, it was just fun to have all the guys together and yeah, make a good memory. So good start to the year. Hope everybody had a happy new year. We'll be back soon with another episode to keep the content flowing. Hopefully line up some interviews this year and kind of get back on track. But fun to get in here when we can, and yeah, hopeful for some good NFL playoff football going forward.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for tuning in, coming straight off the natty. We are excited to bring you guys some more stuff. Now we're officially in the college football off season with just home stretch about a month left of the NFL. So we're gearing up for a full off season, baseball, college football, NFL, all wrapping up. So get ready for some interviews, some fun guests, some of your favorites, and we'll yeah, be back in force.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. Episode 179 in the books. Thanks for sticking with us through all this time. Always appreciate you guys. And as always,
As always, let's climb the ladder.